An early morning crash. Pats return to action at home against Seattle. WPRO's weekend AccuWeather forecast. Sunny to partly cloudy skies today. Cooler than it has been. Look for a high of just 49 degrees. Good morning. I'm Doug Lizette. This is the WPRO News at 8 o'clock. New this hour, two UMass Dartmouth students rushed to the hospital after a crash just before 1 this morning. Their car hit a utility pole on State Road near Arcadia Avenue in Dartmouth. Police say the students, Mustafa Akataba and Harianne Erie, both 19 years old, are in stable condition at Rhode Island Hospital. The National Weather Service putting out the early warning there could be some coastal flooding on Tuesday. The moon, passing as close to Earth as it has in 69 years, will lift the tides. And on top of it, a brewing coastal storm will push the sea into the bays and rivers. The peak of the potential flooding would be in the early afternoon on Tuesday, so at least we can see whatever is coming. The Weather Service says the flooding forecast is not set in stone, but if your boat's still on the water or you live along the shore, you should keep an eye on the forecast. We'll hear from President-elect Trump this weekend on TV. That would be his first comments in a sit-down interview since his visit to the White House in Capitol Hill this week. Mr. Trump sat down with 60 Minutes to discuss the last few days, including the late election night phone call he got from a defeated Hillary Clinton.
She couldn't have been nicer. She just said, congratulations, Donald. Well done. And I said, I want to thank you very much. You were a great competitor. She's very strong.
Donald Trump had a 90-minute meeting with President Obama, and from that meeting came an apparent softening of the president-elect's views of Obamacare, saying that some features of that federal health care plan should be retained. Trump Tower in Manhattan, where the president-elect lives up on the 66th floor, has become fortified as security measures go into place. Police have set up jersey barriers and concrete blocks to secure the entrance of Trump Tower. It's in the heart of Manhattan, a real challenge for the Secret Service to secure. They might prefer to be back at Obama's suburban home in Chicago or the Bush Ranch in Texas. As we enter the house fire season, a warning from the feds that combination smoke and carbon monoxide detector on the ceiling may not chirp when the batteries die. More than 3 million Kitta detectors with a 7-year battery might just stop working at the 7-year mark and not remind you that they are dead. The Consumer Product Safety Commission website has more information. Or would you like to help shape young minds in Rhode Island's capital city? WPRO's Paul Zangari reports the opportunity to do so is here. The city is looking for school board applicants.
Mayor Jorge Alorza says the Providence School Board Nominating Commission is looking for candidates to apply for the board. School board members have to live in the city but may not be employed by it nor serve it in any other capacity. The board is scheduled to meet 4 times a month, but at times it meets more often. There's time to make up your mind if you're interested, since the deadline for applications is December 9th. Paul Zangari, WPRO News.
Coming up, WPRO Sports, Traffic, Weather, and On the Way Next, Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Steve Pettirudi. WPRO News Time is 8:03.
Mashed potatoes with no mashing, gravy without the lumps, perfect sides for your holiday table are as close as Willow Tree Farms. Everything from the butternut squash and the gravy to the cranberry sauce and, of course, the fresh turkey. All made from scratch at Willow Tree. Just visit Willow Tree Farms and let Willow Tree do the work while you take the credit. WillowTreeFarm.com.
Everybody loves their Willow Tree. Fresh to you.
Help stop Medicare fraud and save Medicare dollars. This is Charlie Fogarty, Director of Elderly Affairs. Join the Senior Medicare Patrol Program and assist Medicare beneficiaries to recognize and combat fraud. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, protect your Medicare number. 2, detect fraud. 3, report your concerns. To learn more, call the Division of Elderly Affairs at 462-0194.
Supported by a grant from the Administration for Community Living, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
WPRO Sports, the Celtics beat the Knicks last night 115-87. They will play against the Pacers tonight at 7 o'clock. The Bruins take on Arizona tonight at 8 o'clock. And the Patriots, of course, hosting Seattle at Gillette. The game time, 8:30. Listen to it here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. From the New England Truck Solutions Traffic Center, here's your Burger King Regional Traffic Now with Dave Gardner. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Doug. Our luck is holding out this Saturday morning. Still a nice ride through Providence. 95 North and South looking good, especially there at 95 South by Atwell's, the new configuration. No problems up in Blackstone Valley. It's a nice ride down in South County, including the three big bridges down there and both sides of 195 free and clear. If you see a traffic problem, call the WPRO Providence Auto Body Traffic Tip Line, 421-WPRO. Providence Auto Body is Rhode Island's only Mercedes-Benz certified Tier 2 Elite Aluminum Structural Collision Center. Providence Auto Body, tested, trusted, always recommended. And they're on.
The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's Intellectual Medicine. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi here with Shannon and Nick behind the glass. Hey, Nick, how you feeling?
Feeling good this morning.
I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm feeling great. How about you, Shannon?
Well.
You're feeling good? Yeah, man. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be young. It's a great day to not be aging. It's a great day to live to be 120. We're going to be talking about a range of topics today, but I thought it'd be good to start with the solution to the healthcare crisis. What do you think, Shan?
Go for it. See what you got.
Well, you know, think about it for a moment. And this kind of connects into intellectual medicine. It connects into freedom. Freedom is at the core of intellectual medicine. Intellectualism requires freedom of thought and freedom of expression and freedom of action. Those freedoms can be torn away from you through administrative dictum, through coercive abuse of your financial freedom, through means that will rob you of the ability to execute what you want to do. Now let's circle it back into healthcare. Many of us are burdened by colossal expenses for our insurance. Why do we have a crisis in healthcare insurance and no other arena of insurance? There's no crisis in homeowners insurance. You don't like your insurance company, you fire it and get another one. Car insurance, no crisis at all. No problem with life insurance, disability, they're all out there for you to buy. Now let's take car insurance as an example and then segue to healthcare. Your car insurance is there for a catastrophic event. You do not expect your insurance company to pay when you need brakes, tires, routine tune-up. I mean, you could argue, you know, if they don't pay for my brakes, I could get in a wreck. And isn't it better for the insurance company to put new brakes in my car? It's your prerogative. You know, you can take care of that automobile and you'll have a mint vehicle, a 1950, sparkling, starting up great. Or you can neglect it and it'll rust out. Now, your car insurance pays for catastrophic events. Your responsibility is to take care of it. Look at healthcare. We really don't have insurance. We have a bizarre form of prepaid healthcare. You want freedom? Freedom comes when you pay for it. It comes when you are accountable for your action and you're willing to take charge of it. Give an example. Anybody have children out there? I'm sure you do, right? Not in my house, you don't do that. I love to give this example. Shannon, my son, wanted to get a tattoo when he was in college. And he came to me and he said, Dad, I'd like to get a tattoo. So that's fine. He goes, but I'm going to pay for it, Dad. Don't worry. I said, that's fine too. I said, you know how much tattoos cost? He said, yeah, about $400. I said, no, they cost about $40,000. He goes, what? I said, yeah, first you pay the tuition that I'm currently paying for, then you have extra money. My point, folks, is the freedom comes from the autonomy, from the independence. Now, if your insurance company's paying for everything, well, they're going to dictate to you what to do, what's covered, what isn't covered. To get out from under that, we need to assert our freedom. The insurance company and the doctor now works for the insurance company. Think about that. You don't pay the doctor. His check is signed by your insurance company or a conglomerate. Now, here's my proposal. Just stay with me. I know it's a fluid time in American politics, and we're debating healthcare, and I think that we should all have an opinion and a thought. because what comes next we're going to live with for a while. In America, we've been making our reputation by creative solutions to difficult problems that other nations have not thought of. Since when do we need to look to France to figure out how to do things? No, well, you know, I suppose cheese and wine we could look to France, but political structure I'm talking about, folks. So here it is. Number one, no state boundaries. Insurance companies, tear down the state boundaries. Free competition across the nation. Number two, no exclusion for pre-existing conditions. In conjunction with that, number three, requirement of purchase. You must buy insurance. Why? This one is tough. In a perfect world, you'd have freedom to buy or not buy. However, the problem is you cannot have no exclusion of pre-existing conditions unless you require everybody to buy. And that dilutes risk over a large population. Otherwise, people wouldn't buy insurance until they get sick. Number four, this is critical, transparent pricing. You ever have this experience? You go to get blood work done. You go to get an x-ray. You have to sign a paper saying you're on the hook no matter the price. That's crazy. They should tell you right up front, I'm sorry, Shannon, this blood work's going to cost you $2,000, right? You might think twice. Not after they've taken your blood, after they've done the test. Now you get whacked with a bill. So transparent pricing. Number five, no employer dependence. Why should we be dependent upon our employer to take care of one of the most intimate and important parts of our health? I know this sounds a bit radical, but bear with me. I have people come in to see me, Shannon, and they've got these forms that I have to sign for them, validating that they have had their blood work done, what their cholesterol is, what their weight is, what their blood pressure is. The form goes to their employer. What the heck does the employer have any business knowing anything about your health care? Whatever happened to privacy? Upsets me. In order to make sure that the employers don't get a windfall profit, the money saved by them not paying for your insurance goes right to your paycheck. And then lastly, orphan benefits. If there's not a treatment that can fix your problem, you have the freedom to pursue any therapy that you deem appropriate. You have chronic fibromyalgia, there's not a drug to cure it. You got stage 4 cancer, it's going to be progressive. There may not be a remedy, but there are treatments that can help. They're not always part of conventional medicine. And this pivots into the freedom argument that is necessary to pursue anti-aging medicine. It's required to live a better life. Hey, Nick, how am I doing over here? I got about 5 minutes. Great. So that is an overview. We're going to put this up as a blog on our, we're going to put it on Facebook, website.
And we'll put it on both.
All right, good. How do they get to our website?
They can go to intellectualmedicine120.com, or if they want a shortcut, they can go to im-120.com.
IM120. No, IM stands for intellectual medicine, and the 120, the 120-year lifespan. Right now in Washington, they're debating in front of the FDA the notion of off-label drug use. Now, that means a drug or a treatment or a procedure being applied for a purpose other than it was originally intended. I can give you an example. Aspirin is designed as a pain medicine, but we have found out that it helps prevent heart attacks and colon cancer. The latter two indications would be considered off-label. Here's another example. Doxycycline is an antibiotic prescribed for infections. Rheumatologists have found that in some cases, it can reduce inflamed joints. That would be considered off-label. Off-label is your doctor applying intellectualism to apply to your problems. Now, back to the FDA. The FDA doesn't like it when drug companies educate doctors about off-label use of their products. They want to control language. Why? Why don't they want freedom of speech? Why don't they want freedom of expression? You know, the thing we do, we spend a lot of time at our website and at Intellectual Medicine trying to police our language. You would think that such an endeavor wouldn't be necessary in America. We're the home of free speech. Not so much. Bureaucracies can take away your freedom of speech by hiding it under other guise. So now comes the FDA, and they want to corral the freedom of speech because they think you're a moron. They think you're stupid. They don't think that you have the intellectual capacity to filter information. Therefore, they want to contain that information in a manner that protects you. I need protection because I'm a moron, and I need the FDA to protect me from evildoers who would otherwise mislead me. It's incumbent upon us all to be masters of our health, to be masters of our own world, to be accountable for the things that happen to us. Yes, we need honest information. Yes, this information should be transparent, and it should be communicated honestly. And there are means of redressing that if excesses take place. But we need freedom of speech. Think about that. What is the FDA-approved treatment for life extension? There is none. Everything we do is intellectual in nature. There will never be a study, ladies and gentlemen, that will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that any intervention can extend life. That's because, think about it, to do that study, you would need two cohorts of human beings, one taking a treatment and the other not. And we'd have to wait about 50 years to see who dies and who lives longer. Because those studies are impossible to do does not mean that the means of extending life is beyond our comprehension. We know some of those elements. That's what we do at Intellectual Medicine. Applying that to real life and using our study of the human condition, our knowledge about cause and effect regarding hormones, toxins, lifestyle, and we apply all that information, including conventional medical studies. When you pull all that together, you start to live younger, live healthier. How do we know that? We see it every day at our center. Intellectual Medicine is about living longer, but it's also about living better right now. You ever have this event occur? You go to see the doctor, a little tired, joints are aching. Maybe your memory's not so sharp. I had a patient in the other day, and she was having trouble kind of remember where she put her keys. Processing information was a little bit slower. And her old doctor said, well, you are getting older. You know, you are, fill in the blank, 62, 57. I'm 57. Whenever they use your age as an explanation for a symptom, it's time to seek another opinion. And when we come back after the break coming up, I'll tell you the approach we use for this patient and how she went from fumbling around her house trying to find her keys to sharp as a tack. And there's a connection between brain, longevity, your immune system, prevention of cancer, prevention of heart disease, quality and length of life. We're going to live 120 years, folks, and we're going to enjoy doing it. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. We'll be back after this break. Hey, everybody. I am back. Oh, yeah. It's Dr. Steve Pettirudi with Shannon and Nick. We're talking about the 120-year lifespan. We're talking about freedom. You have the freedom. You have the freedom if you have the time, if you have the intellectual capacity, if you have the government giving you the latitude to use your resources as you see fit. By the way, you also have the freedom to live the short lifespan. We were using the analogy earlier about that car, you know, that mint condition 1950 Roadster, the one that you see at the car shows, looking sharp, and the rusted out Hulk. Well, making the analogy to our lifespans, we have a high value in being non-judgmental at Intellectual Medicine. We value deeply your right to live as you please, even if that choice ends up with a shorter, less healthy lifespan. It's your prerogative. You don't have to do a thing. Now, I get a kick out of folks that say, I'm going to age gracefully. The hell's that mean? What does that mean, I'm going to age gracefully?
It means you're going to get old and look old and
I don't know. There's a comfort in fatalism. If there's nothing that can be done about your condition or about aging itself, then you don't have to be thoughtful about neglecting any aspect of your health. So here comes this patient to see me, 63 years old, noticing that she's gaining fat in the midsection, noticing that her brain's just not as sharp, owns her own business, very successful, but not as crisp. As she put it, you know, I used to come in, throw the keys down, I knew exactly where they were. 5 minutes later, I'd grab them, I'm good to go. Now, I forgot where I put them. That was a change. Now, folks, changes like that scare me deeply because we can't tell what change is the leading edge of a progressive compromise of your brain that will lead to dementia. We know that 50% of the people aged 85 and older are going to have some form of dementia. Why? There is no gene. It's not a genetic trait, folks. It is an avoidable phenomenon. We need to figure out the elements that go into that. So that's a part of aging, anti-aging. So here she comes, and we analyze and find out that, you know, her thyroid is not optimal. Now, notice I use the phrase optimal. In medical language, there's abnormal and normal. Well, suppose you're not abnormal or normal, but rather just not where it would best serve your body. And this blends in the off-label use of thoughtful therapies to achieve better human outcome. You combine and restore the hormones, including thyroid. The missing piece for many people, especially women, is testosterone. Used in a balanced fashion, it does not androgenize. It does not make male characteristics. So here she is 4 months later, feeling great. Her weight's down 10 pounds. Her abdominal circumference has shrunk. No longer has to think about where she put her keys because she remembers it instantly. Now we're talking about tangible benefit in the short term. Will that lead to a longer lifespan? Probably. We can't be sure. But in the moment, the quality of life is significantly enhanced. That's what we seek for all of our patients. Protect the brain, protect the arteries, the heart, the bones, the skeleton. Prevent the aging process from happening. Brought together, this is a new era, a new style, a new method of thinking. Now, should insurance pay for all of that? I don't know, Shan, what do you think?
For you to live longer and not have any as many health problems?
Yeah, I mean, should your health insurance be paying for you to live? No disease. There's nothing wrong with being 50 or 60 or 40 and aging, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But should insurance pay so you can modify the progression of the aging process itself? It's a tough question.
Yeah.
It's a tough question.
I think it goes back to the your car analogy, and, you know, they don't pay for brakes and oil changes.
See,
I
think that one of the things we're driving to do, folks, at Intellectual Medicine is make this universally available at a level that people can fit into their life. Now, here's another analogy I like to use. As you're contemplating this path for yourself, should I do anything to prevent my aging? I got 3 minutes. I got to explain this all. I can do this. I'm quick like that, right, Nick? I'm quick. All right. Should you do anything to prevent aging? Think about it from first philosophy. Why not? You know, you're only alive once, so why not live longer? Why not live your best? Why not give the gift of your great health and independence to the people around you? The thing people fear the most is dependence, loss of brain, and physical function. Well, we know what happens with unaffected aging. Aging without treatment leads to physical infirmity and weakness. It's guaranteed to happen when we intervene and support with hormones, antioxidants, support with detoxification, advanced diagnostics to find things out before they harm you. Now we're talking about living that higher quality life, investing in that now. The analogy, Shannon, I was going to make was to television. See, I remember a time when TV was free. Mm. Do you remember that?
I do.
Barely. I remember. Nick, barely. Nick does not. He does. Nick, in the old days, Nick, you turn on the TV, it cost you nothing. Everybody had one TV in their house. Now, I pay over $200 a month for the right to watch My 600-Pound Life or Honey Boo Boo or who knows what else is out there. And I don't know how it happened, Nick, but all of a sudden, I'm writing this check every month and I'm getting nothing for it. Once upon a time, you had one TV. Remember fighting over who got to watch their show?
Of course, you had to wait.
You had to wait.
I'm negotiating.
Now I got 82 televisions, and they're all widescreens, and we're paying. Well, my point, folks, is that this is a new phenomenon that requires a new line item budget in the family household in order to partake of it. The same thing with anti-aging. When you make that choice, you will then weave that into your quality of life, and only you will decide if that's worth doing. It is tantalizing. Given a choice, nobody wants to become infirm or get old. Look at the patients at Intellectual Medicine. They feel better. They look better. They move better. Their minds are sharper. You're going to be hearing from these folks over our journey together. But this is all based on relevant science that is happening as we speak, pushing the boundaries faster than insurance and conventional healthcare can keep up with. Yes, there's a cure for obesity. Yes, there's a way to prevent dementia and cancer. We've got those advances coming to you every week. But in the moment, we've got to take a break for news. Doug Lazette from the Seascape News Center. I'm Dr. Steve Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Join Dr. Pederuti as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pederuti.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Thanks for spending some time with us. We've been talking today about the state of healthcare, about ideas for how things should be paid for, and about whether or not you want to invest in staying alive, younger, longer. These are your choices. Everybody has to make that decision for themselves. Information is out there. It's there for you to read and research. We know that the rule of the artery is supreme. What does that mean? Andrew Taylor is still the founder of osteopathic medicine, the profession of which I adhere, a big believer in preventative medicine, a big believer in the body's capacity to heal itself, but it all starts with good blood flow. You know, there was a recent study where they demonstrated the ability to make a monkey walk again who had a severed spine, and they did it with an implantable computer. Did you hear about that, Shan?
I did not.
Yeah. So they did an experiment. They took this poor monkey, cut its spine, and implanted a computer into the brain that could communicate with the limbs and cause it to walk again. Now, this is extraordinarily exciting. These advances are happening, and someday they're going to be available for humans. That someday will never come, folks, if you haven't taken good care of your circulation, because if you don't have good blood flow, none of this stuff matters. That someday isn't going to matter if you haven't taken good care of your brain, because the brain is running your entire body. So with circulation, there was a study done on high-dose statin therapy. You know statins, Shannon, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, Lipitor, Atorvastatin, Crestor. They found that high-dose statin therapy reduced death in people who had heart disease. The folks that had the very highest doses they could tolerate were likely to die at a rate of 4% in the first year versus people who didn't use statins at all, 6.6%. So it's a good correlation. In fact, the new recommendations are if you have known heart disease, if you've had a heart attack, or you've had known coronary artery disease. Now, this is not for average people with high cholesterol, but this is for folks with known heart disease. You know what LDL you should treat towards, Shan, the new threshold? It's a trick question.
Well, depends on, we were taught if you have a comorbidity.
Right.
70.
Right. So the new, it's a trick question okay. Because The new objective is to treat to the highest dose regardless of the number. That there's a correlation between dose and effect on heart disease. Now, we feel it's because of the reduction of inflammation that occurs in the veins and the arteries. So that can help guide us towards some of the causes of heart disease. There are other things that help reduce inflammation that aren't necessarily drugs. Number one, weight reduction. We now have a remedy for that. Number two, olive oil. I know it sounds weird, tablespoonful three times a day. Those omega-3s reduce inflammation. Green tea. Green tea three times a day has been shown to lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and lower weight. It helps with weight control. And what I call the big four supplements. Magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin D, and vitamin K. Folks, if you're on vitamin D, make sure you have K2, that's menaquinone, along with it. Prevents calcium from building up in the arteries. We'll talk doses as well. But first, you know, Nick, we have a call, don't we? Let's bring on Steve. Hi, Steve. This is Dr. Pederuti, Intellectual Medicine.
Hi, Dr. Pederuti. Good to talk to you.
Likewise, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I never hear you talk about eyes such as glaucoma or cataract, not to change the subject, but your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. You know, we consider the eyes to be part of the vascular and the neurological system, Steve. That is... It's interesting to me that when you have glaucoma, one of the treatments that is recommended for that is high-dose vitamin therapy. If you have macular degeneration, they oftentimes prescribe high-dose vitamin therapy. If it makes sense to do it in the treatment context, why not apply it preventatively before the macula begins to degenerate? We know from our experience that the same things that can preserve neurovascular function have beneficial impact on the eyes. Unfortunately, we don't have definitive studies, but I can tell you, Steve, I'll use myself as an example. I've been doing chelation therapy now. That's intravenous therapy to reduce heavy metals and improve arterial circulation. I've been doing it for the past year. Recently went to my eye doctor. Couldn't explain it, but my vision had actually improved, and I had to get new lenses. We have several patients coming to see us, a gentleman with a severe glaucoma. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he came to see us. He's going to a specialist in Pennsylvania, and they said that, I'm sorry, but you have an advanced form of glaucoma that will render blindness inevitable. And he's been chelating with us because he was told by his doctors to consider that. And the last time he was there, they were struck by the improvement. These are things, Steve, that are not proven treatments for glaucoma, macular degeneration, and cataracts. But when you think about what makes nerves degenerate, part of that is free radical overload. So, you know, taking care of ourselves when we're healthy before the disease sets in is critical. But even after, addressing some of those root causes of nerve damage can help. Are you battling eye conditions, Steve?
No, well, I have glaucoma.
Yep.
And I do have a cataract left in one eye.
Yep.
My vision is fairly, it's pretty good. I would say it's good. It's not a perfect 2020. It's a kind of a blurry 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time to start to contemplate. You know, yes, they do have surgery that can get rid of cataracts, and they do have advanced computerized lenses that are fabulous. But go a step beyond that and ask the question, why do these things degenerate in the first place? Are they also reflecting degeneration of brain and vascular on a more broad level? And what can we do to kind of intervene? I love the antioxidants, a high-dose vitamin C, 500 to 2,000 milligrams a day. We like the omega-3s, the fish oil products, at a dose of about 2,000 units per day. And we love the chelation therapies. I feel that it's a cornerstone for life extension for so many patients. You know, these heavy metals like lead and mercury and aluminum, they just damage the nerve system, including eyes. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome. How are we doing, Nick? Time to go. Just for the moment, though, folks, I'll be back. This is Dr. Pederuti at Intellectual Medicine. We'll see you after the break. Yes, indeed. It's Dr. Pederuti. We are leading the revolution in healthcare. You know, one of the great ways to answer your critics, Shannon, is to outlive them. It's a great day when you get to, you know, bury your enemies. I'm just kidding. Although there is some truth to that. You know, there's been said that advances in science and medicine do not happen because you convince your critics that you're right. They happen because your critics die off. Think of poor Galileo. Poor Galileo, right? He was correct about the Earth being the center of the universe, but he was considered a heretic. He was placed under house arrest throughout his life, and he was widely chastised. Now, what we do in intellectual medicine is cutting edge. It's breaking new ground. It is changing lives for the better. People are voting with their feet and saying, yes, this is great. But some of our critics are typically those that only look at us from afar. They just see us as different. And we like being different because that's essential. Look, it's been said, if everybody's thinking the same way, then nobody's thinking. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we contemplate the condition. Now, Steve just called about eyes, you know, and I thank Steve for the call. And it does focus on quality and on causality. You don't have quality of life if you don't have your senses with you. Now, we can rely on technology. Well, you know, someday I'll get my knees replaced. The hip goes bad, I'll put in a new hip. The eye goes bad, I'll put in a robotic cataract. How about keeping your body whole and organic? if we can do things that are going to keep the retina, the cornea, that are going to keep the lens healthy, that's far better than replacing it surgically. I had a patient in to see me because they wanted to replace her knees. Now she's only 60. And what do you do for an encore? You take out part of your body and you put in metal, it immediately starts to degenerate. Rather than do the knee replacement, we started on a regimen of medical weight loss, hormone replacement to build up her muscles. She's walking better than she ever has, and she's going to be postponing that surgery, perhaps never to get it. We've seen improvement with eyes as well. We'll be talking about that in the times to come. But I want to highlight quickly, I only got a couple of minutes. Quality of life is a big deal for us. And we talk a lot at the Intellectual Medicine about supportive treatment to fight cancer, supportive modalities that can fight cancer. And that complements, in many cases, conventional therapy. However, there are some settings in which it's a consideration instead. There's a study that demonstrates palliative chemotherapy causes harm. What does that mean? Folks that have had stage 4 cancer with metastases are sometimes offered chemotherapy just to improve quality of life and to kind of slow progression of disease. This is a quote from the Journal of the Oncology, Journal of the American Medical Association. Quote, the quality of life in patients with end-stage cancer is not improved and can be harmed by chemotherapy. Folks, this is not to say all chemotherapy is bad, but some is. And if you're in that window of time, chemotherapy can make those days miserable and add no value at all. Now, that was from JAMA Oncology 2015. Vitamin C, on the other hand, from an article, Frontiers in Oncology, has been correlated with decrease in fatigue, improvement in insomnia, decreased pain, improved appetite. That's what we see when we are fighting against cancer for our patients. Not everybody lives through their cancer, but everybody can fight it, and everybody can live better and hopefully extend their lives. Going strong right up until the last day, that's achievable. These articles, folks, are available for you to see. Shannon, where are they?
They are. They are on our website under the IV infusions, FAQs, and they're also posted on our Facebook.
Great. You know, this information is out there for you to contemplate. Many times the oncologists, these great, beautiful men and women that are helping you fight cancer, simply don't have the time or the energy to incorporate all this other knowledge into their base. We do. That's where we focus. So living well, living long, that's what we're here for. We're going to be back right after this break. I am Dr. Steve Pedretti with Shannon at Intellectual Medicine. See you after the break, folks. Well, I am back, Dr. Pedretti, on a beautiful Veterans Day weekend. Had a nice time talking with you today, folks. We talked about my proposal for healthcare renovation, or restoration. We talked about the value of vitamin C with palliative care for cancer. We talked about the rule of the artery being supreme, keeping your arteries young and healthy, keeping your brain young and healthy. What a great country. And we did it again, Shannon, we did it again. Another transition of power happened in America, and however you feel about what ultimately occurred, the process itself, as bizarre as this may sound, is remarkably American and beautiful. Do you realize that when Thomas Jefferson was elected president, it was a dead heat tie? It took 36 votes of Congress to finally figure out who would lead the country. My point is that the new leader is always shrouded in controversy, conflict, and opposition. But at the end, we're Americans. We're a unique nation, the greatest in the world. And we rally together as one. And we listen to each other so we can make our country better. Just an exciting time, exciting to be an American. I want to live to be 120 so I can see what happens next. We have time. Nick, we're going to take Joanne. Hey, Joanne, this is Dr. Pedretti. You're on Intellectual Medicine.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say quickly that, because I know the show is ending, that I absolutely love, love, love your show. It's just so refreshing and inspiring to hear someone out there who's speaking out on behalf of unconventional medicine and good health. And so I just wanted to thank you. I get so much from your program every week. Thank you so much.
Well, Joanne, that's a wonderful call. Joanne, you've just been voted as the caller of the night. Thanks.
And your dear wife also. Thank you
thanks.
So much.
Aww, thank
my
you.
Question is yeah. about vitamin C. I heard you mention one time that, I think you said 2,000 milligrams a day is the maximum that the body can absorb. And I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly. And my second part to that is, what is your opinion of, vitamins? I just lost my thought.
So this, you know, course, radio does that to people. You know, you
yeah,
get this, like,
I know.
Thousands of people hearing us speak right now. Going, what?
Vitamin the L-ascorbate, buffered C ascorbate, the L form. Yeah. That doesn't contain bioflavonoids, and so I just recently found that out. I didn't know that, but I was taking that for a long time. I'm just wondering, is that a good form of vitamin yeah. C to take, even though there are no bioflavonoids in
sure.
it?
Sure, sure. Let me speak about that. The vitamin C, there are different ways to look at it, Joanne. Mm-hmm. One is, what can your blood level max out at? And that blood level maxing out is about 2,000 milligram per day dose. Now, that's absorption into the bloodstream, and that's the effect of vitamin C systemically on cells throughout the body. However, when you talk about the buffered vitamin C product, it's a slightly different animal. That works more in the gastrointestinal tract and has more of a detoxifying value. And at that stage, the vitamin C can go higher. Mm-hmm. You can pull toxins out of the bile. You can enhance the lymphatics of the colon itself. In fact, in some cases, the buffered vitamin C that we advocate, it's a powdered form, mm-hmm. we will titrate that up to as high as 4,000. On rare occasions, we'll go as high as 8,000 mm-hmm. milligrams a day.
Oh, okay.
Now, the caveat is it's got to be the buffered powdered form.
Yeah.
And you've got to walk up the ladder slowly.
Yes.
And you use your gut function as your barometer.
Yes.
If you go too quickly, it'll upset your stomach. But
yeah.
really, I can't tell you how many women especially have trouble with liver detoxification.
Mm.
There's something about their system that makes bowel movements slow and infrequent.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get folks on that detoxifying protocol of CBuff, as we call it, they're moving their bowels two times a day, and that's to their betterment.
Right, yeah.
And now you should combine that with a capsule form, though. And the capsule form, I'd never go above the 2,000. It's really gut limited.
Uh-huh. And the capsule... to get the bioflavonoids in a capsule form?
It's
like a complete...
Yeah, the bioflavonoids is certainly an optional asset to include. I don't think it's requisite.
Uh-huh.
The bioflavonoids have antioxidative qualities,
uh-huh.
and it's the C product itself that
uh-huh.
we feel is most critical.
Uh-huh.
You know, you bring up a great point, Joanne, and if I can speak to it, it's the overwhelming information regarding supplements can sometimes be really befuddling.
Yes. Yes.
You start reading about these things and everything sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a marketing element to what we read online.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be mindful of that. But boy, you brought up a great topic today, Joanne. Thanks for listening and stay tuned to us. This is Dr. Steve Pettirudi at Intellectual Medicine with Shannon, wishing you a beautiful Veterans Day weekend. We'll see you next week, folks.